Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, three lines down. The Gemara yesterday left off with the case that we were talking about where we had an individual who's married to both a Tana and to a Chereshet. And then we said about that, which one is he more married to? Because we're not certain as to which of those marriages really got consummated. There's a problem in both of them. They're both only Midrabanan. And the question of what the status or the nature of that connection is will determine the relationship to each other or how we deal with them once the mate has passed away and leaves them as Yivamot to his brother. How does the interaction with each of them affect the situation? So there we had the discussion between Rav Nachman and Rav Ada Bava and his son-in-law Rav Chano. And there Rav Nachman at the end said that even if he came from Achiv Cheresh, nam misveikale. That even if he fell from his brother was a Cheresh, I still think there's a Safek, meaning that the brother was, originally they suggested that if he was a Pikeach, that's where we had the Safek, where the brother was a Pikeach. But if the brother was a Cheresh, married, then he definitely would favor the Chereshet, because there she has two reasons for him to like her over the Ktana, to say that that is much more of a Kinyan, or a real Kinyan over there. That was a suggestion of Rav Ader Bavel. Rav Nachman came back and said no. He thinks that even in that situation, we still say that the Cheresh Nami Misveikale. We still think that there's a Safek of both parties. Then the Gemara said, Ketzad Takanatan, how do we deal with them? How do we deal with this situation? So the Gemara says, Kones et Cheresht, he marries the Cheresht, performs even with her, and Motzia beget, and then divorces her. V'ktana tamtin eshet tagdil v'tachlot. And the Ktana, he waits until she grows up and does Chalitza with her. And that way you take care of everything. So Rav Chisda says, Shema Minah from that, the Rav believes that the nature of the kinyan of the Chereshet is Knuya Umishueret. Knuya, but not completely Knuya. Whereas by the Ktana, it's a complete Safek. Whether it's, he has a kinyan Gamur, 100%, or he has no kinyan at all. Because by the Ktana, the Chachamim allowed for Meun. The fact that she can reject the Kiddushin here, or walk away from the Kiddushin of the Nisuin, we're not sure of the nature of the kinyan. Does that mean that they think there's a full kinyan that she can unwind? Or we think there's no kinyan at all, and that's why she can perform meyun over here? What's the nature of that kinyan? So the conclusion that Rav Chisda said about Rav is that Rav must believe that the nature of the Chereshet's kinyan is that it's a 75 or 80% kinyan. She can't get to 100% because she's a Chereshet. The Ktana is either 100% or 0%. That's the nature of the Safek here, because of this interaction between the two of them. And the Gemara says, because if you thought it was the other way around, then he should take the Chereshet. Why does he have to divorce her? He should just marry her, and Mimonov Shach, everything will be fine. Because if she's 100% Knuya to him, HaKnuyahi, then he married her, and she's the Yavama, no problem. If she is not married, she had no Kinyan with the original brother, then she's an independent party. She's not a Yavama, and therefore the Ktana doesn't affect her at all over here. And then she can stay married to him. So Mimonov Shach, she can stay married to him. And why do we demand a get? It must be that the opposite is true, or the way that Rav stated is true, which is the Ktana is half and half. And the Ktana is a suffix 0%, 100%, and the Chereshet is the 80% Kinyan. So now the Gemara says, okay, let's set it up that way. Why don't you just say the opposite by the Ktana now? If he comes and marries the Ktana, Mimonov Shach, he should be okay with the Ktana. Because either she was 100% married to his brother, and she's the Yavama, so stay married to her. Or she was 0% married to his brother, and that means that she's not a Yavama, and she can stay married to him either way. So why over here do you have to do Chalitza with the Ktana? Go ahead and marry the Ktana, and he can stay married to her, no problem. So the Gemara says, V'chiteima Ktana amai tamtin ad shetagdil. So now, in that solution, why does the Ktana wait until she grows up? V'tachlot, and then do chalitza. Teitev gabei. Let him marry her. Iknuyahi, haknuyahi. If she was 100% married to his brother, then she was the primary Yivama, and he should just marry her, and that'll be fine. Elav knuyahi. If she wasn't married to his brother originally, nochreta be'almahi. Then she's not a party to the Yibam over here, and he can stay married to her. Because the Gemara says, then you have a problem. What are you going to do with the Chereshet in that situation? You're right. In Ochanami, he can marry this Ktana on the spot and stay married to her, Mimonav Shach. There's nothing wrong with this Ktana. Either she is the Yavama, 100%, and he's fine, or she was 0% married to his brother, And then she's an achridi, can be married to her. The problem is, what do you do with the other wife? The chereshet. The chereshet's now stuck in a bind. If you marry the ktana, you have a problem, because what are you going to do for the chereshet? You can't perform chalitza with the chereshet. So you can't dismiss her. That's the problem. In this situation, the chereshet is going to be left dangling, stuck. Because here, this chereshet, either she is a co-wife to the ktana, and through the yibum of the ktana, the chereshet is out of the picture now, and you're good. Or they weren't married at all. Ktana wasn't married to his brother. Okay, so he married the ktana now. But the chereshet was married to his brother, and he has to do something now. He has to either perform yibum or chalitza with her. Chalitza he can't perform with the chereshet, because it doesn't work. Yibum he can't perform, because maybe the ktana really was his wife. So now the chereshet is going to be stuck in limbo land, and that's why we don't do that. That's what the Gemara said. Im kein chereshet, but ma teipuk. How are you going to release the chereshet? So Amar Rav Sheshet, Ochanami Mistavro, Kamitarit Rav Chista, Libid Rav. Makes a lot of sense the way that Rav Chista explained Rav's position over here, because the Tanya, because we have a Braita. So Rav's position, the way that Rav Chista is explaining, which is that the Kinyan of a Chereshet is a 70-80% Kinyan, and the Kinyan of a Ktana is a Safek, 0%, 100%. Because now we have a Braita, and we see this Braita, it'll be easy to explain the Braita according to that understanding. Shnei Achim, Nisuim Shtei Achayot Yitomot. They were two brothers, regular brothers, that were married to two sisters who are Ktanot, that are Yitomot. That means that you know for sure we're dealing with a marriage derabanan. But one of them was a Ktana v'chereshet. One of them is a Ktana, period. The other one is a Ktana and Chereshet. She has both aspects to her. So you have here two brothers married to two sisters. One of the sisters is a Ktana, Yitoma. The other sister is a Ktana, Yitoma, Chereshet. Mate bala shel Ktana. If the husband of the Ktana passes away, Chereshet yotza beget. Then the Chereshet, he has to divorce his wife, who is the Chereshet with the get. V'Ktana tamtin ad shetagdil v'tachlotz. And then he waits for the Ktana, who is his brother's wife, until she becomes of age, and then he does chalitza with her. Mate bala shel chereshet. If the husband of the ktana chereshet passed away, then ktana yotza beget. The husband who's married to the ktana will divorce his wife with the get. The chereshet asura liolam. And the chereshet is stuck forever. We can't do anything for her. V'im bala chereshet. If he does have biya with the chereshet, noton la get. He gives her a get, and she is muteret. Let me go back and let's look at each of the suggestions of the Gemara. In the Gemara, in the first case, where the bala shel ktana passed away, the husband of the ktana passed away, and now we're left with the marriage to the chereshet. So he said over there, he should divorce the chereshet, and then later on do chalitza with the ktana. He has to divorce his wife, the chereshet, because maybe the ktana was 100% married to his brother. If she was 100% married to his brother, then her zikah as a yivama trumps his marriage to the chereshet. He's 80% married to this chereshet, and he has 100% zikah to this ktana. So we're not going to let him stay married to the chereshet, because she will be achot zikukato. Achot zikukato, he's not allowed to stay married to her, get to dismiss her. If the ktana was really 100% zikah to him, then she trumps his wife, the 80%. He can't stay married. So again, when the bala shel ktana, when the husband of the ktana passes away, and now we're left with a brother who has a full-fledged marriage to this chereshet, then we say, chereshet yotza beget, he has to divorce her, because possibility is that he's 80% married to this chereshet, and the ktana was 100% married to his brother, and now this ktana is 100% zikah to him, and his wife is achot zikukato, and he can't stay married to her, so divorce. To take care of that problem. On the other hand, the ktana, we don't know if she was 100% married to his brother or 0% married to the brother. So now, why does he have to wait to do chalitza? Because maybe the chereshet was 80% married and the ktana was nothing. It was a zero. The ktana was a zero marriage to his brother, then you don't need anything here. Or she was 100% married to his brother, and now she needs chalitza. So he needs to perform chalitza with her. So he waits until she becomes of age and performs chalitza with her. So that's how we solve the problem here. Divorce his wife, the chereshet. Chalitza with the ktana, who could possibly be his yivama. So next is balash chereshet. If the balash chereshet passed away. So then you have the one who's married to the ktana still around. and a chereshet waiting for yibum. So now what are you going to do here? There's a possibility this ketana is a 0% marriage. And that means that he has a zikah to this chereshet. And that zikah to chereshet would demand that he does yibum over here. Because he's not married to the ketana, and he should have to do yibum. The other hand, he can't do yibum with her, because maybe he's 100% married to this ketana, and she's a chot ishto, and he can't do yibum with her. So then what do you do? Ketana yotza beget. He has to divorce his wife, because maybe she is 0% married to him, and he needs to release her because of the chereshet, the zikah that he has with the chereshet. The other hand, the chereshet is through the olam, we can't do anything for the chereshet. The chereshet is open for yibum, and open for chalitza. Chalitza doesn't work with her, so that's not an option. Yibum would have been an option with her, except for the fact that he was married to the ketana. And if he was 100% married to this ketana and then divorced her, this chereshet is achot gerushato. Achot gerushato he can't perform yibum with. That's why the chereshet is stuck. Then, im bala chereshet, on the other hand, if he has bia with the chereshet in this situation, he has bia with her, then notein la get v'hutra. Then he can divorce her and shutra mimonav shach. And that's what the Gemara is about to explain, and that's what I'm going to give you the heads up, and then we'll explain it. All right, this chereshet, he had bia with her. Let's look at the different possible outcomes. If he had bia with her, this is after he gave a get to his wife, the ketana. He divorced his wife, the ketana, and then he has bia with the chereshet. Now, in having bia with the chereshet at this point in time, which he shouldn't have done, because she was a sur isro olam, because can't do chalitza with her, can't do yibum with her. But he does, in the end, has bia with her. So what are the two possibilities about what happened at this point in time? Well, we said before, if he was 100% married to the ketana, then this woman is a surah to him because she is achot grushato. And you're right. The bia is a bad bia and did nothing. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that he was 0% married to the ketana. The get that he gave her was meaningless. And now the bia that he has with the chereshet is yibum. So now what does she do? Give her a get. He gives her a get. Mimon of shach, she's released. Either she's released because he was 100% married to his wife, the ketana, and that released her, or she's released because he was not married at all to ketana, and now he just performed yibum with her, and she's released because he gave her a get after the yibum. He can't stay married to the chereshet because maybe the ketana was 100% marriage, and it's illegal for him to stay with the chereshet. But maybe she was a 0% ketana, and he married the chereshet fully, and now he has to release her. He has to give her a get to release her. We don't know if he's married to her or not now. So he gives a get to be sure that she's released. So that's the suggestion of the Gemara. Now the Gemara explains why that works in the situation of Rav. The Gemara says, if you said like Rav, that she is knuya mishuret, and 80% knuya by the chereshet, ktana knuya ve'enu knuya, by the ktana it's 100% or 0%, mishum hachi. T'chi bala chereshet, when he has bia with the chereshet, noten leget ve'utra. It gives her again, and mimon of shach, she is mutar. Damart, mimon of shach. Iktana knuyahi. If he was 100% married to his wife, the ktana, hanafka mishumu achot isha. She's dismissed automatically. He didn't have to do anything with her because she was achot ishto. Even after he divorces her, it doesn't help the situation because she's still achot grushato. And even if the ktana dies at this point in time, and the isur of achot isha disappears, that's still not going to help us because at the time that she fell before the husband, she was achot ishto, and therefore you can't do anything. Ilav knuya, if she is not knuya legamrei, meaning she's a 0% knuya, shapir miyabein, then he did perform yibum de chereshet, and that's why he gives her a gift. Ela iamart, if you say just the opposite, that a chereshet is knuya ve'ina knuya, the chereshet is either 0% or 100%, ktana knuya mishiret, and by the ktana is 80% kinyan with her. Kibal chereshet amayno tenget v'hutra. Why, when he has bia with the chereshet, does that solve the problem? Habila bia psula, because then it's a bia that is psula, or bia psula lo patra. When you have bia with someone that is psul to you, that doesn't dismiss or get rid of the need for chalitza. So generally, in a case where a person has bia, in these cases where he shouldn't have had bia, it's a bia psula, we demand he gives a get for the bia, and does chalitza to get rid of the zikah. So here, in this situation, if you say that he is 80% married to the ktana and 100 or 0% married to the chereshet, you have a problem here of how to dismiss this chereshet. Because, let's look at the different scenarios. If he was 80% married to the ktana, that's there no matter what. He divorces the ktana. Now the chereshet is in front of him. In terms of the chereshet, either the chereshet was 100% married to his brother, and that means that 100% zika trumps the Ktana, his wife, who's only 80%. And he needs to do Chalitza with the Chereshet. Problem is, he can't do Chalitza with the Chereshet. Or the other possibility is that the Chereshet was 0% married to his brother. He's married 80% to Ktana, so now she was 0% married to his brother. Okay, then she is not needed for Yibum, but she's Achot Ishto. And Achot Ishto is illegal. So now he goes in and he has Biyah with this woman. Now what does that solve? How does that solve your problem? If she was Achot Ishto, he has Biyah with her, which is an illegal Biyah because it's Achot Ishto. But you're right, she's released here because she wasn't a party here. There was no Yibum to be performed. Achot Ishto to the Ktana, she is dismissed, it's over. Because even though he divorced the Ktana, she's still a Achot Ishto, because a Achot Ishto is as long as his wife is alive, or his ex-wife is alive, it's still a problem. So then in that case, you're right, she would be released, but she would be released whether he had Biyah with her or not. In the other scenario, where she was 100% married to his brother, and now she falls for Yibum. He can't perform Yibum with her because he's 80% married to the Ktana, her sister. And that causes a problem. So he divorces the sister, that's a Ktana, that's a Achot Grushato. Now, Achot Grushato is still problematic. The Bi'ah that he had with her now is a Bi'ah Psula. It does not consummate a Yibum in any way or shape or form. There is no Yibum here. So now, in that case, why does this help you? He has Bi'ah with her. Okay, now we're going to demand. He does get and Chalitza. Guess what? A Chereshet can't do Chalitza. So why is this going to help your situation? That's the proof that this cannot be the scenario. It has to be the other way around, that it's Ktana is 0 or 100% and the Chereshet is 80%, because then you come to the solution that the Braita says. If you do it the other way around, there is no solution for the Chereshet in that case, because she had a Bi'ah Psula. A Bi'ah Psula still demands Chalitza and get, and giving her a get is not going to get her out of this situation. She still needs Chalitza, which cannot be performed for her, and therefore the suggestion of the Braita is incorrect. The Braita says, no, Hamani Rabbi Nechemyah hi. This is Rabbi Nechemyah. This bright is authored by Rabbi Nechemyah. Demar Bi'ah Psula Poteret Michalitza. He disagrees with the Chachamim and says, when you have a Bi'ah Psula, you now move into a new territory. The Chalitza is gone, and you just have to give a get. Okay, so if you do that, then you have a solution to the bright problem. Just give her a get. She had a Bi'ah Psula, give her a get, and everything's dismissed. It says, E Rabbi Nechemyah, if Rabbi Nechemyah is the author of Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with the latter half? Mishaya Nasui Shtei Yitomot. Someone who is one individual is married to two yitomot, two girls who are ktanot. But one of them is a ktana, and that's all she is. The other one is a ktana v'chereshet. So here you have a case similar to what we dealt with at the end of yesterday's daf, but here we're dealing with a case where he is married to two yitomot, two ktanot. One of them is a ktana, that's all she is. The other one is a ktana v'chereshet. Umeit, and now he dies. So now he has these two women that are available to his brother for Yibum. Ba Yavam al Ktana. If the Yavam has Biyah with the Ktana, v'chazar ba'al ha-chereshet, and then afterwards has Biyah with the Chereshet, oh, Sheba achiv al ha-chereshet. Or afterwards, after he already had Biyah with the Ktana, his brother has Biyah with the Chereshet, Nestru shtehen alav. Both of them are problematic. They are both asur to him. Ketzad takanatan. What does he do now? Chereshet yotzeit beget. The Chereshet, he divorces. V'ktana, tamtin ad shetagdil v'tachlots. And the Ktana, you wait until she grows up and you do Chalitza. How are we going to explain this? He amart, bishlamo, Chereshet knuya mishiraret, and Ktana knuya v'enu knuya, v'rabonon hi. If you say the Sefer of the Mishnah is a case, like what Rav Chisda is suggesting in Rav, that the Chereshet is 80% married and the Ktana is 0 or 100% married, and we're dealing with the Rabbonon, which says that a Bi'ah Psulad does not dismiss anything, then that's why she has to wait until she becomes of age and does Chalitza. Because of the problem or the possibility that he might have done it in reverse. Because then you would have Bi'ah Ktana, Bi'ah Psula, and then it would have been a Bi'ah Psula, and that would be a problematic situation. If it was Rabbi Nechemyah, Amar Bi'ah Psula Patra. In that case, even the reverse would have worked. Elishma mira rabbonon hi. It's definitely the rabbonon. So let's go through the situation based on Rav's explanation and see how it works. In the situation that he goes ahead and has Bi'ah with the Ktana first, and then he has Bi'ah with the Chereshet, or his brother has Bi'ah with the Chereshet. So in that situation, what are the possibilities? Well, let us say his brother was 0% married to this Ktana. So in that case, when he had bia with the ktana, no problem. He married the ktana, no issue at all. But then the bia with the chereshet, what happens with this bia with the chereshet? The chereshet was open for yibum now. When he has bia with her, she's a zivama. And now she is fully married to him. So now, how do we deal with this situation? We say, as far as the chereshet is concerned, give her a get in order to dismiss her. The ktana, wait until she becomes older and do chalitza with her. In that situation, there was no reason for that. He could have stayed married to ktana and technically stayed married to the chereshet because they weren't related at all. They were never co-wives to his brother. The ktana was never married to his brother, chereshet was, and he has a perfectly good marriage. So that scenario, we would have said he could have stayed married actually to both of them. The problem is in the scenario, which is what happens if the ktana is 100% married to his brother. In the case that the ktana is 100% married to his brother, then the ktana is the real yevama here, because she has the stronger marriage to the brother. And therefore, when he had bia with the ktana first, that was the ibum. What are you going to do with the chereshet in that case? The bia with the chereshet is a meaningless bia. He already had ibum with the co-wife. You can't have ibum again with the other co-wife. So the bia with the chereshet is meaningless in that case. So now he's really married to the ktana, and everything is great. Problem is now, which one of the two scenarios is it? We could leave him married to the ktana because miman afshach. Either she was not his brother's wife and he should stay married to her, no problem. Or she was his brother's wife and she's 100% married to him. She performed ibum with her. He could be able to stay married to her. So in Hachanami, technically, he should be able to stay married to this ktana. As far as the chereshet is concerned, he has to divorce her. He has to give her a get. Because either he performed ibum with the ktana and the chereshet was nothing and he has to dismiss her. Or the marriage to the ktana was a marriage, but it had nothing to do with the yibum. And his yibum with the chereshet was 100% yibum. And he needs to divorce her now, give her a get, because we're not sure if she can or cannot stay around. So we give her a get to dismiss her. So why do you do chalitza with the ktana? Miman afshach, he should be able to stay married to this ktana. So why do you do chalitza with her? We do chalitza with her because of the possibility of the reverse case. What happens if he has bia with the chereshet first, and then has bia with the ktana? So what are the different scenarios? Where he has bia with the chereshet first, if the chereshet is 80% married and the ktana is 0% married, then he did yibum with the chereshet. He did a proper yibum with the chereshet. So in that case, he could stay married to the chereshet. The bia with ktana afterwards is meaningless. She was not a party to the yibum because she wasn't married to his brother. In the other scenario, where the ktana is 100% married to his brother, then when he had bia with the chereshet, he was performing yibum. But the co-wife, the ktana, had 100% connection to his brother. She had a stronger connection to the brother. And therefore, the bia with the chereshet does not dismiss the ktana, because that's a bia psula. He should have done yibum with the ktana, because she was 100% married to his brother. Chereshet does not dismiss her, and therefore, he needs to deal with the fact that he has 100% zika to this ktana, versus an 80% zika to the chereshet. So in that scenario, where the ktana is 100% married, he had bia with the chereshet, he's got to divorce her because he can't stay married. Maybe the ktana was 100% here and he shouldn't be married to her, so he's got to divorce her. He has to do chalitza with the ktana because the ktana could have been 100%. She's the woman he needs to deal with and do chalitza with her. So in that scenario, he has to do chalitza with the ktana. Since in that scenario, he has to do chalitza with the ktana, when it's the reverse, and he has bia with the ktana first, and then bia with the chereshet, we tell him, do chalitza now. Even though you don't have to do chalitza, and even though he could be married miman afshach to this ktana, we don't allow it to go through because of takana, maybe it would be in reverse, where he had bia with the chereshet first, and then with the ktana afterwards. So that is why we're saying over here, we understand the whole scenario. But, if you say that Rabbi Nechemiah is the author of this braita, then in that scenario where he has bia with the chereshet first, and then bia with the ktana afterwards, the bia with the chereshet is good enough to release her from chalitza. Because Rabbi Nechemiah believes that a bia psula takes out chalitza of the picture, and then all you need now is a get. That means that in either one of the cases, whether he had bia first with the chereshet and then with the ktana, or he had bia with the ktana first and then the chereshet, all he needs to do is give a get to the chereshet and everything's done. There's no need for chalitza in either of those scenarios. And therefore, why is there a chalitza in this picture at all? And that's why Rabbi Nechemiah cannot be the author of this braita. Because if he's the author of the braita, then you don't need chalitza in any of these situations. Because he says, ha bia psula patra. Because then you say that a bia psula would take care of the problem. El shmami na rabbonani. So let's start with that premise that it's got to be the Rabbanan Shema Minah. But if you say that it's Rav Nechemya, then even if you switch around the order of who's the Knuya and Enu Knuya and who is the partial Knuya, in either case, a get should suffice over here. Chalitza is not necessary because he says once you have a biyah, even if it's a biyah psula, that eliminates the need for chalitza. All you need is a get, and that should solve the problem here. So Gemara says, El Shmamina Rabbanan, He Shmamina, it must be that the Rabbanan are the author of this Braita. If they are the authors of this Braita, the only way to explain this Braita is according to Rav, who says that a Chereshet is 80% Knuya, and a Ktana is 0, 100% is a Safek. So Amar Ravashi, Miresha Nami, Shma Minah the Rabbanan. Even from the earlier part of the Braita, we can prove that the Rabbanan are the authors of this Braita. Diktani. Because it says there, Imbala Chereshet, if he has Biyah with the Chereshet, no Tein La Get. He gives her a Get, Hutra, and then she's Hutar. Veloktani, and it doesn't give the advice, Imbalak Tana, no Tein La Get, Hutra. How come in that first scenario, we had two possibilities? One where the Baal of the Ktana passes away, and the other scenario where the Baal of Chereshet passes away. And then we told you what to do in either of these cases. In the case where the Baal of Chereshet passed away, we said over there that he should give a get to his wife, the Ktana, and the Chereshet is stuck forever. But if he happens to have Bia with his Chereshet, he can then divorce her, and that will solve the problem. But in the other scenario, which was the first scenario where the husband of the Ktana passed away, we gave him advice to do this. Divorce his wife, the Chereshet, and then wait for the Ktana to grow up and do Chalitza with her. Why doesn't the Braita in that scenario say Imbala Ktana? If he had Bia with the Ktana, then he can give a get to the Chereshet who's his wife, and then also give a get to the Ktana then. Also, why doesn't the Braita give that scenario? What is being suggested here by Rav Ashi is the reason the Gemara didn't give that scenario is because it's the Rabbanan. And since the Rabbanan, a Bia Psula still requires Chalitza, and that's why we're demanding Chalitza here in the first scenario, and not giving you the situation where he has Bia with her and then gives her a get. Because that Bia would have been a Bia Psula, and if it's a Bia Psula, that would not automatically get rid of the problem of Chalitza. It says, Im Shumha, Lo Eria. If that's the case, we won't say that. Because Chereshet, Deleitle Takanta Deheteira, Chereshet, the only option for her is Isur Olam. She's stuck. Therefore, Ktanik Takanta De Isura. Therefore, it gave you the scenario if he has Bia with her, like you were suggesting before, wink, wink, if you have Bia with her, even though it's wrong, you can get rid of her. There's a safek, we don't want you really having Bia with her. But if that happens, you can't dismiss her. Ktana adila katan takanto de teira, by the ktana where we do have an option. There we have a better option, which is when the bala shel ktana passes away, then you divorce the chereshet, and the ktana you wait until she grows up and do chalitza with her. So at that point, you have a solution to the problem without involving Bia at all. Therefore, lo tani takanta di sura. The Braita didn't entertain the possibility, oh, what happens if he has Bia with the Ktana? I mean, we have a way to solve the problem without Bia with the Ktana. You're right, Eno Hanami. If he had Bia with the Ktana, it also could solve the problem that way. But we don't even go down that route because we already have a way to solve it without going down that route. By the Chereshet, that if I didn't give you that solution, the only thing that would be written in the Braita is, she's stuck. We tell you that down that route, there is a way that she could get out of this. If there was some illicit biyah here, she could get out of the problem. But we don't have any other options. So because of that, the bride didn't mention it. The bride didn't entertain the possibility, oh, what happens if he has biyah with the Ktana? Not to prove the fact that this is the Rabbanan. Because what Rav Ashi was suggesting is the reason that it didn't write it is because it's really authored by the Rabbanan. And therefore, a biyah psula would not help in this scenario. You would still need chalitza later on. And that's why the Braita is demanding Chalitza, because Bia with the Ktana would not help you. You couldn't just give a get in the end. You would have to do Chalitza and get. So the answer is no. And Ochanami, you could be Rabbi Nechemya. And you could say that all she needs is a get. The Braita just didn't write it because it had another solution. All right, next Mishnah. Misha nasui l'shte yitomot kitanot. An individual is married to two yitomot kitanot, umet. And then he dies. Ubaya v'amal rishona v'chazara balashniya. Goes in as Bia with the first of these Ktanot, and then with the second of the Ktanot. Or, after he had Bia with the first one, another one of the brothers has Bia with the second one. Lo pasala terishona. The first one is totally fine. Because, mimanov shach, whatever relationship you have with the first Ktana, is what you have with the second one. So if they have 100% Kinyan, then he did Yibum with the first one, the second one is a co-wife that's dismissed, and there's no relationship here, and no ramification of it. If he's not married to the Ktana, he's also not married to the second one, he can stay married to the first one. It's not with the first, and it's not with the second, he can stay married to the first one. V'chen bet charishot, the same thing is true when you have two charishot, because they're both at the same level. Since at the same level, whatever you did with the first one is what you're doing with the second one. And therefore, since the first one was the kiyum of the yibum, whatever bia you had with the second one is meaningless. Or if the bia with the first one doesn't do yibum, then this bia with the second one also doesn't affect you, because just like it didn't affect the first, it didn't affect the second. The question becomes when you have one party of each. When you have a ktana v'chereshet, in the scenario where you have one ktana and a chereshet, b'yavam ala ktana, if the yavam has bia with the ktana, v'chazar ba'ala chereshet, and then afterwards he has bia with the chereshet, o sheba'achiv ala chereshet, or his brother has bia with the chereshet, pasal et ktana. In this scenario, you ruin the ktana. By the way, there is an alternate girsa, you can see that. Mishnah Mishayoto, it says lo pasal. Many of the Rishonim, this is the girsa of Rashi, which is pasal et ktana, which we're going to read it that way. Just so you should know, the Rishonim have another girsa here, which is lo pasal et ktana. But here we're going to go with Rashi's girsa. Bayavam al chereshet, if he has bia with the chereshet first, the chazar ba'al ktana, and then afterwards has bia with the ktana, o shebachiv al ktana, pasal et chereshet. Again, there he ruins it for the chereshet. So in this scenario, we have a problem, because you have chereshet and ktana. We're not certain as to their nature of their relationship with the brother. And therefore, in the case where he has bia with the ktana first, and then he has bia with the chereshet, what are the two possibilities over here? Miman of Shach, he really should be able to stay married to this ktana over here. Because when he married her first, either his brother was 100% married to this ktana, and when he had bia with her, he consummated the yibum and you're done. Or he was 0% married to this ktana, and his marrying of this ktana is marrying a nachrit. Since he's married a nachrit, the bia with the chereshet afterwards has no bearing. Either the bia with the ktana consummated the yibum, and the bia with the chereshet was znut, or the bia with the ktana was with someone who wasn't related to his brother, and therefore the bia with the chereshet consummates a yibum. So all he has to do is he should be able to give a get to the chereshet and stay married to the ktana. We don't allow that, even though he could do that, we don't allow that because of the other scenario. And that's why the other Rishonim had the gear, so lo pasal et ktana. Lo pasal et ktana is really the truth. Ktana is totally fine in this scenario. So that's the gear of the other Rishonim. Rashi says pasal et ktana because of gzeira. Gzeira also the reverse. Here he had bia with the ktana first, and then with the chereshet, that's where we say it should have been okay, but we don't allow it because of the reverse. If he has bia with the chereshet first, and then with the ktana, now you have a problem. Because if he had bia with the chereshet first, maybe he's 80% married to the chereshet, and that's the yibum. 0% married to the ktana. Okay, he had yibum with the chereshet, everything's hunky-dory, he could stay married to the chereshet, the ktana is out of the picture. Or he could marry her, because she's independent, she's not a co-wife here. But in the case where the ktana is 100% married to his brother, now you have a problem. He had bia with the chereshet. That didn't really create yibum because he has a zik of 100% with the ktana. So it's a bia psula with the chereshet. The bia with the ktana doesn't work because he already had bia with the chereshet that married him here, and he has to divorce her. In that scenario, I say that he has to divorce her. He ruins it. Pasal et rishna, pasal et chereshet. That ruins it for the chereshet. He can't stay married to this chereshet. So now, if he can't stay married to the chereshet because of the possibility that the ktana was 100% married to him, now he has to divorce the chereshet. Divorces the chereshet, that leaves us in a bind. Because maybe the ktana was the real yavama because she was 100% married to his brother. But now, she has a problem because he divorced the chereshet and he did something to be posel, the co-wife. And once he's posel, the co-wife, it will look like he's bonesh shnei batim. It's as if he's marrying two households. He's dealing with two yevamot that came from the same household, 80% and 100%, but he's dealing with both of them. We're not going to allow because that's shnei batim. So in that scenario, in the scenario where he has bia with the chereshet first and then bia with the ktana afterwards, he has to get rid of the chereshet. The chereshet's a problem now. He has to divorce her. But in the case where he had bia with the ktana first, it was fine. Now, according to other Rishonim, it's fine and he can stay married to her. According to Rashi, it was fine, but takana out to the opposite direction, we make him get a divorce, we make him posel et ktana. So that's the scenario in the Mishnah. Next case in the Mishnah, pikechet v'chereshet. In a case where he's married to, the brother was married to a one woman who's of age, is totally of sound mind, and a chereshet. So in that case, bayavam ala pikechet, if he has yibon with the pikechet first, because zara bala chereshet, he has a bia with the chereshet or otherwise, lo pasal et pikechet. In that case, the pikechet is totally fine. The pikechet is married deoraita. So the bia with the pikechet creates yibum deoraita. The chereshet afterwards was only married midrabanan, and even if she was married deoraita, she still wouldn't be posel the first one because the first yibum created yibum deoraita and everything's over. She was a co-wife that shouldn't have anything. It was znut. Bayavam al Chereshet. On the other hand, if he has Biyah with the Chereshet first, V'chazar Baal al-Pikechet, and then he has Biyah with the Pikechet, or Baal Chiv al-Pikechet, Pasal at the Chereshet, then he ruins it with the Chereshet. Because, again, the Chereshet is only married to Midrabanan, the Pikechet is married to Oraita. So here, because of the optics of it, we're not going to let you go through with this. We're going to force you to divorce the Chereshet, because he now had Biyah with the Pikechet, and makes him married to the Pikechet 100% Midoraita. That's Yibum Midoraita. So he has to divorce the Chereshet. We won't let him stay married to the Pikechet, even though Midoraita, it's fine, because it looks like he's Boneh Shnei Batim then. Looks like he's building two houses, because he married two women that came from his brother. So in that case, we're going to force him to divorce both parties over here. Gdola Ktana. And same is true. Here we had Gdola and a Chereshet, or Pikechet and a Chereshet. Here we have Gdola Ktana, which creates the same scenario. One is Doraita, one is the Rabbanan. Bayavam al Gdola, if he does Yibum with the Gdola, Chazar Baal Ktana, or Shabachiv al Ktana lo pasal at the Gdola, the Bia with the Ktana is meaningless. From 2 points. First of all, he had Yibum already with the Gdola, so the co-wife is out of the picture. And number two is, the Ktana over here is only married me to Rabbanan. So his marriage to the Ktana is out of the picture just because he had Yibum Doraita with the Gdola. But Bayavam al Ktana, Chazar Baal Gdola, if he has Bia with her Ktana first, and then with the Gdola, Oshabachiva Gdola Pasal to Ktana. And then in case you ruin the Ktana, just like you ruined the Chereshet in the previous case, because Midoraita now he's married to the Gdola. So he has to divorce the Ktana. And once he divorces the Ktana, he can't stay married to the Gdola, because it looks like he's Boneh, Shnei Batim, and that we're not going to let stay in place. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Melamdina Ktana Shetimein Bo. Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Eliezer, as Makul Gizbet the Girsayer, says we teach the Ktana to Timein Bo, to do Miyun, Meyun in this case. Because if she does Meyun, then she's out of the picture. And once she is out of the picture, then we can let it go through with the Gdola. And once she's Oker Nisya, then he can keep the Gdola. So in that case, even if he had Biyah with the Ktana, we tell him to do her to do Meyun. And then he can stay married to the Gdola, which is a Yibo Midoraita, even though she was the second wife there. Right, so now, Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha ki Rabbi Elazar. The Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah. And V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar also says Halacha ki Rabbi Elazar. Now, again, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel are from Bavel, and they're saying the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, the Tana of our Mishnah, who's Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Rabbi Elazar is an Amora in Eretz Yisrael. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. The Talmud Chover Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora in Eretz Yisrael. And he also says the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar was the Tana in our Mishnah. It was Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. So the Amora Rabbi Elazar is saying that the Halacha is like the Tana Rabbi Elazar. Betricha, and we need both of these dinim. Why do we need both of these dinim? Also before, in the previous Mishnah, we had Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Halacha ki Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Eliezer. We had that the Halacha is like one of them. So now the question is, why do we need passing the Halacha in both cases that in this case, and then in the previous Mishnah we had Rabbi Eliezer Omer Melamdimin Aktana Shetimein Bo. So that suggestion was made in the previous Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel says the Halacha is like him in both cases. We're assuming now that either in both cases you're Goreis Rabbi Elazar, or in both cases you're Goreis Rabbi Eliezer, and he's passing a Halacha like both of them. Tzichat it marba hakamaito. If you say like in the first Mishnah that's the case, but hakamar Shmuel Halacha like Rabbi Eliezer, there Shmuel says the Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, mishum to lo kiyem mitzvah yibum. Because in that case, if he doesn't do Meyun, there will be no mitzvah yibum. Aval baha, in our scenario here, deike mitzvah yibum, ema tarvayu lifko. Since he already was mekayim the mitzvah yibum, because he had biyah with the gdola, and he finished the mitzvah yibum, let him get rid of both of them in that case. In the case of the first Mishnah, when we're looking at the scenario before he had biyah with them, so then we're going to say to him, let the ktana do Meyun, so that it will facilitate his ability to do yibum with the gdola. In this Mishnah, it's already post-biyah. So Mimon of Shach, he did Yibum over here. So why have the Ketana do Meyun when it's not going to benefit us? He did Yibum already. Just let him divorce both of them and that'll be done. So that's it. Let's go beget and then we'll be done. V'yishmein and Baha, if you only told us in our scenario, Mishum Gdola, the Ram Yekameh. This scenario over here, the Gdola is already thrown in front of him because he had Yibum with her. Aval Idach, lo. But the other case, by the first Mishnah, where he has yet to deal with the Gdola because he's married to the Ktana, then maybe we'd say over there, don't do Meyun. In this case, the Ktana and Gdola were equally in front of him as Yivamim. And therefore, maybe we say the Ktana, do Meyun so we can facilitate the marriage to the Gdola. On the other hand, in the case over there, he's married to the Ktana. And now the Gdola falls to him. So maybe in that scenario, we're not going to say that he's already married to Tana. We're not going to say, oh, here, we have equal options over here, so teach him to do Mayun. No, we don't have equal options over here. He's married to Tana, and then there's possible Yibam with the Gdola. So maybe there we won't say to do Mayun. So Tricha, therefore we say that the Locha is like him in both cases. Now here, it's interesting, the Gemara here has the gears of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Elazar, suggesting that these are two different Tanaim, and Rabbi Yudah is passing like these two Tanaim who have the same opinion in these different scenarios, and they're two different Tanaim. But you could argue that it's one Tana, and it should either be Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer, or Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar, or maybe they're two Tanaim, but Rabbi Yudah Mershmul passing the Locha like him in both cases. And why does he need to pass in both cases? Because he wouldn't have been able to extrapolate from one to the other. Okay, next Mishnah. Yavam katan shebali yavama ktana, yigadlu zeim ze. Yavam katan that has a marriage to a yavama ktana, so technically they can't consummate over here, but assuming here that he is at least 9 years old, so that his bia has meaning, so yigadlu zeim ze, and then they should grow up together, and then deal with it once they've grown up together. And if he wants to divorce her, then once he's already of age, he can divorce her because then he has the ability to give a divorce. Ben Tayyim, his bia is a good bia, and will stay married, she's a ktana, and then they'll stay married, it'll be fine. If he wants to dismiss her, can't do chalitza, because you have a ktana here and a katan who can't do chalitza. And he can't give her a divorce at this point, because he's a katan, he can't give a divorce. Okay, bal yivama gdola. On the other hand, if you have a yavam katan that has bia with a yivama gdola, tigadlenu, she will bring him up, because he has to come of age. And then he can decide what to do at that point. Either they stay married and there's Yibam, or he can divorce at that point. Chalitza is not an option because he's a katan. Hayivama shamra betok shloshim yom lo nivalti. If a Yivama comes to Beit Din and says, the Yavam has not had bia with me in the first 30 days, kofino toshiach lo tzla. We demand him to do chalitza with her. This is a totally different scenario. In a case where his brother passed away, and now he waited the requisite 3 months to make sure she's not pregnant. And now he married her. He had said he performed yibum with her, but he doesn't consummate the yibum. She comes to court, and she says he never had bia with me. He never consummated the yibum. So she's stuck. He's not having bia with her. So the yibum's never really consummated. So she thinks that he's never really going to do anything, and she's caught. So we demand that he do chalitza with her. After 30 days, if she comes to court, we say, please, do chalitza with her. We don't demand that he does chalitza with her. Now, Tosafot says, why not? Why not demand that he do chalitza with her? It's zen enev, it's elo chaser. She will benefit from the chalitza. He doesn't lose that. He's not having bia with her anyway. So why not demand that he do chalitza over here? Tosafot says there is a mitigating factor over here, that it's embarrassing to have chalitza done to you. Because this woman's going to spit in your face. Not literally in your face, but in front of you. It's a sort of a denigrating ceremony. And therefore, we're not going to force him in this scenario because she delayed in coming to court to demand her rights. If he agrees, if he admits that he's not having bia with her, then it doesn't matter how long they've been together. If he agrees that he has yet to have bia with her, we say chalitza, and we're going to force him to do chalitza. A woman who takes a neder anah from your yivama while she's still married to her husband. She's married to her husband, and she takes a neder hana'ah from her brother-in-law. She has a problem with him, whatever the issue is, takes a neder hana'ah. Kofin oto sheachlotzla. We force him to do chalitza with her, because there's no way you can have yibum with her because of the neder. And we say, go ahead, he has to do chalitza. La'achar mitat bala. After her husband died, she takes a neder hana'ah from her potential yavam. Then mevakshim emenu yashachlotzla. In that case, we say, please do chalitza. We're not going to force him because she's the one who created the problem over here. She took a neder anah, and therefore we're going to ask nicely. We're not going to force him. Now, Tosafot says, why don't we blame him for the problem? Why wasn't he made for the neder? He could have been made for a neder. Tosafot says, you can't be made for a neder unless you're married to a person nisuin. He doesn't have nisuin with her because he has to have bia with her. He can't have bia with her because he took a neder anah. So he's caught in a catch-22. Because if he has bia with her, then he's violating the nether. If he doesn't have bia with her, he can't be made for the nether. So the nether is going to stand miman of shach, and now he has to perform chalitza with her. We're not going to force him because she's the one who caused the problem. If we know for sure she's taking this nether anah in anticipation of the possible yibam, then again we say it's her fault, and we ask him nicely to do chalitza. We do not force him to do chalitza. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. It's not Tanya. We have a Braita. Katan uktana lo chotzim velo mityabim. A katan uktana do not perform chalitza and do not perform yibum. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's position. Now, our Mishnah says they perform yibum, and then they hang out with each other until they figure out what they want to do. Whether they want to get divorced, they want to stay married. Rabbi Meir, who's choshesh the miyut, says they can't perform yibum here because maybe the katan will be a saris, or maybe the katana will be a ilonit. And because of that, they will be disqualified from yibum, and he's choshesh the miyut, he's choshesh for minor probabilities. He's choshesh by minors for minor probabilities. And therefore, they can't perform yibum, because then it would be esh rachiv, shelo b'makom mitzvah. So where it says, afilu teimer Rabbi Meir. That is even possible. Ki amar Rabbi Meir gdola l'ktatan u'katana l'gadol. In the case where you have an uneven type of yibum here, which is you have a gdola, a woman who's already of age with a katan, or a ktana, a woman who is a minor with a gadol. There, d'chad minayu biyadi surahu. Because in there, one of them is a surah, one of them is already of age. And therefore, the biyah that they have with each other would be punishable because they would be held accountable for it because they're already of age. Of a katana ba ktana, the tervayu v'yadodin, you know, they're both in the same boat there. We have a possibility of minor probabilities that there's ishid achiv here that would be asur. But on the other hand, they're both minors, so they're not going to be held culpable for having the biyah of ishid achiv, shelo b'makom mitzvah. So therefore, ki'adodin, you know, lo amar. Over there, Rabbi Meir lets it go through. V'haktani. Don't we have a scenario here? Bali of Amagdola Tigadlenu. Our Mishnah says that, okay, the Mishnah gives you the scenario, Yavam and Yavama who are Ktanim, but then it gives you the next scenario, which is, you have a Yavam who's a Ktatan and a Yavama who's a Gdola, and yet it says, Tigadlenu, against Rabbi Meir. So Amar Rabbi Chanina Choza, Ba Shaini. That's a Bidiyavad case. They were not telling him to go have Biyah with her and marry her, it's Ba. If they already did it, Bidiyavad. You're dealing with a situation in which it already happened. In that situation, what do? Bahati gadlenu kamar, that she brings him up. Wait a minute. If you're suggesting now this is all bidiyavad, then according to Rabbi Meir, the first biyah we couldn't control because he did it without asking us. But already, if he stays together with her, they're going to continue that biyah. And according to Rabbi Meir, those are biyota surot. Why can he stay married to her? Yet the Mishnah says, tigadlenu, she can stay together. El mechavarta matnitan deloka Rabbi Meir. It's pretty clear that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. Kari Khan, Akiv Lachiv Shem. The reason that you perform Yibum is Akiv Lachiv Shem B'Yisrael. Hai La Bar Hochihu. This Katan is not, does not have the ability to be making Shem Lachiv. If he doesn't have the ability to be making Shem Lachiv, why do we allow this Yibum to take place here? Why do we allow this to go through at all? Now, even though, as Tosfot says, Afu Pishi Avodich La Chamat Shem, even though in the future he will have Akamat Shem, Lo Mahanya, that doesn't help. He was never, ever able to be making Shem Achiv. So the fact is now that we have a problem, that why should this be allowed to go through? So Marabai, the Pasuk says, and Tosfot says, it could have written Achi Amet. Why doesn't it write Achi Amet, but rather Yivama Yavola means that Koldu, anyone, not just the Achiv Amet who can be making Shem, but even the Achiv HaMeid who can't be make him shame because he's a Ktatan, still that's called Yibum. Rabba Amar Belov HaAchi Lo Matzid Amart. Without that, you can't say it. Mi Ika Mide Dehashta Sirulei Ubatar Shaita Sharia. How can it be that something now is Asur and later on becomes Mutar? You can't say now that he's Eshir Achiv, that is Asur. And then if she becomes Eshir Achiv, that's Mutar. I mean, when he becomes older, now he can perform Yibum all of a sudden? You can't have it be Isur and then Heter. It must be that it's Heter all the way along. Any Yivama who, at the time that she becomes Yivama, if he's not mutar to her at that time, and she's a surah at that time, she becomes a surah olamit at that point in time. At shat nefila, if he can't be make him shem l'achiv, then it's over. Even though later on he might be able to be, or that things will become mutar, we're done. That's the moment of decision. So if you say that a katan is a surah, then how could you suggest in the future that he could be mutar? Because that means at the moment of the death, no yibum. That means later on there ain't going to be any yibum either. So that's what, that shows you that it must be that the katan is mutar to perform yibum over here, otherwise we wouldn't be able to do it later on. So Umar says, so ema hachanami, why don't we say in hachanami, that the katan is asur, and the isur is an isur olamit. Because the pasuk says that as long as the brothers were alive at the same time, then there is yibum over here. Remember, we had the psul in the beginning of the masechta of achim mishalo haya ba'olamo. that they weren't alive together. But the implications of that are as long as they were in the world together. He was even a day old when his brother passed away, and now he's available to do Yibum. That would suggest that even a minor who's one day old is a Ben Yibum. How can he be a Ben Yibum? You're telling me that he's Asur. So that's what the puzzle tells us. No, that there is a heter of Yibum for a Katan. So you can't say, yeah, in Ochanami, a Katan's Asur and there'll be no Yibum here. Because the Torah says there is Yibum by a Ben Yom Echad because it's Yeshuachim Yachtav. And therefore they're qualified for Yibum. And you would be mutter now and he'll be mutter later. Alright. Yivamash Amra B'toch Shloshim Yom. Mantana ad Tlutim Yom Mukum Inish Anafshe. Who is the Tana that says that a person with up to 30 days, we can assume that a person may not have Biyah, but after 30 days, for sure he has Biyah, meaning that he won't hold himself back. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir, it's Rabbi Meir, Tanya. Tanat Bitulim. A man who comes to Beit Din to say that when he had Biyah with his wife, he didn't find Bitulim. Up to the first 30 days, he's allowed to come and make that claim. Because Rabbi Meir says, up to 30 days, we can assume that maybe he didn't have Biyah with her. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, when he says the 30-day window, that's even if they've been secluded in that period of time. 30 days is the threshold, not Nistara, not seclusion. Once we cross over the threshold of 30 days, he for sure had Biyah with her. And if he didn't come at that time immediately and bring his claim, then he lost his ability to do it. And just later on, he doesn't like his wife. And now he's going back and making up information in order to force her to lose her ketubah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nistara la'alter, lo Nistara aflachar kamashanim. If they were mityached, if they were secluded, then we assume he had Biyah. And therefore, he's got to bring his claim right away. Tosfos says, lav dafka right away. He's got to bring it in a timely fashion. But if they were never secluded together, then even after a number of years, we can assume they didn't have Biyah. And if he has Biyah then, he can make his claim of Bitulim at that point in time. So Rabbi Meir has this 30-day window where we assume a person may not have Biyah, but after 30 days, you can make an automatic assumption they have Biyah. Rabbi Yossi says it has nothing to do with time. It has to do with whether they were secluded or not secluded. Now, lo nistara over here, that they were not secluded, Tosfos brings two possibilities. Either lo nistara is that we don't know if they were secluded or not. And that's why Rabbi Meir would say, too bad, after 30 days, it's over. Whereas Rabbi Yossi would say, you can wait even a couple of years. Or the possibility of lo nistara is that we know for sure they were not secluded. And then even Rabbi Meir would agree. If they were never in seclusion, even Rabbi Meir would agree to Rabbi Yossi there that after a couple of years, you can still make the claim because they were never secluded. So in our Mishnah, we say that 30 days is the normal window for Biyah, or we can assume there was Biyah done. And therefore, if she makes a claim after 30 days, then we say she has a valid claim. After 30 days, they definitely had Biyah, and we do not listen to the Yevama. That must be Rabbi Meir's opinion. So Rabbi Amar, Afil Tema Rabbi Yossi. Maybe even Rabbi Yossi can be the author of here. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yossi altam ele be arusato. That's a case by Rusad Gispa, because he has a existing relationship with her. Since he has an existing relationship with her, Rabbi Yossi says that if they already were secluded, he for sure had Biyah with her. But about Eshet Achiv, Mivzaz Bozis Mina. There, he doesn't have a relationship with her. He is Boshimenu. He's embarrassed. He doesn't have an existing relationship with her. And therefore, maybe even Rabbi Yossi would agree that if they were secluded, he didn't have Biyah yet. And maybe the window is bigger, like Rabbi Meir. So in that, according to Rabbi, either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi could be the authors of our Mishnah. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, only Rabbi Meir is the author of Mishnah because this 30-day window in which we assume there is Biyah or not Biyah is the position of Rabbi Meir, whereas Rabbi Yossi says it has to do with seclusion or not seclusion, nothing to do with the 30-day window. Okay, we're going to stop over here on the top line of Kuf Yud Bet Amud Aleph.